friends, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Consume your thoughts with those good things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And so the next piece of armor that we're putting on is the shoes of peace. So that kind of segues really well into each other. And as I was reading that, I was thinking, why shoes of peace? You know, like, why not shoes of destruction? That would be awesome. You know, like, why do we have to have peace? And why is it on our feet? That seems odd. But I really felt that the Lord said to me, you need to be grounded in peace when you go out to battle. You know, kind of like a kung fu type, you know. But you need to know who you are in God. You need to know who he is in you. And the opposite of peace is fear. You can't go into a battle with fear, because you're going to have tunnel vision and you're not going to see the bigger picture, and you might not want to even turn, or you'll be too scared to move because you're just not sure. So we need to hold on to the peace that surpasses all understanding, so that whenever people see that you're having a trial in your life and you have peace about it, they're going to say, wow, you're strangely calm about this. And you say, yeah, because I've got God and I know that I'm going to get through this. And another example I have of that, and you guys are really going to make fun of me for this, I'm not a good swimmer, and I hate the beach. And I live on PEI. So I shouldn't say I hate it. It's beautiful, but I'm not like a creepy crawler, crabs and crabgrass type person. And whenever I was probably around 8, I went to the beach with my friend and her mom's friend, and there was a bunch of us there. And my mom had a rule, you know, stay pretty shallow because you can't save your own life. And I was like, okay, I will. And the tide was out, so we had to walk a pretty far ways out to get up to our thighs in water. And, you know, the girls would be like, let's sit on the bottom and pretend we're having a tea party. And I'd say, okay. And the tide started coming in, and of course it's not rushing in like a tsunami, but I'm not a good swimmer, so I'm thinking, okay, I need to start making my way back. And it seemed like miles away because I was so little. And you know, you get into the in between the sandbars, and there's lots of little hermit crabs and crabgrass, and I didn't have my beach shoes on, and I was like, okay, where am I gonna go? And it seemed to kind of surround me. And I was trying to look for the sandiest places to make sure I wouldn't stand on something that was going to cut my foot, and I couldn't find any, and I started to get really scared. And my fear of going forward was greater than my fear of the deep water coming that I couldn't swim in. And I must have been there for a long time, because my friend's mom's friend came out and got me and carried me back. So, phew, thank God for that. But if I would have had my beach shoes on, I would have been able to plow right through there and practically run. If I stepped on a crab on the way, it wouldn't have hurt me, right? And I wouldn't have been afraid of where to go. So we need to pray every day for God's peace to be on us, so that we can go where he wants us to go, and we don't need to have fear, and we'll have trust in him because we have a peace of him being in us and directing us on where to go. Okay, I'm going to take a sip of water. I'll try not to spill it because I'm so shaky. Okay. So the next is the shield of faith. Ah, it's my favorite. Because faith is something that has to grow continually. It's not just something you can say, I have faith, and be done with it. Scripture says all the time, faith comes by hearing, and hearing with the word of God. And we're continually told to continually read the word of God. It's our daily bread. We need to be involved in it every day. And thinking about all of these pieces of armor and tools that God gives us, I want to ask the question, how big is your shield? You know, usually there's a part to hang on to, and it kind of, your arm fits into it. So, you know, you put your arm up to deflect whatever. Is it just like a tin can, rinky-dink little thing that whenever it comes, you're thinking, okay, I'm just going to throw it and run because it's not doing me any good? Or, and this is what I want to strive for, is it this big, heavy honker that you can kind of just sit it down so it's touching the ground and it goes over your head? So whenever the devil starts, you're going, I'm good. Try all you want. You know? So we need to build our faith. And not only does faith come by hearing the word of God and, you know, learning things and reading it in books or on the internet or whatever, just learning things about God, it comes from our community. You know, it comes from each other. You know, you have a testimony of seeing somebody healed. That's awesome. You pray with me for this because I need healing in this, and I have faith that your prayer is going to work because it worked for you before. And then once that victory comes, then you can do it yourself. Da, 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 da. So, and in anything, you know, we need to cling on to each other and listen to each other's testimonies and build our faith together. You know, brothers in arms or comrades in on the battlefield, you're not just deflecting for yourself. If you see somebody who has a little shield and you have this big honker, I call it, run over to them and say, here, use my faith to help protect you. I'll pray with you. I'll help you get through this. And then we'll have a testimony and we'll stomp on the devil's neck some more. And other people will be like, yeah, let's get into this army. It seems like they always win, which is really good. Okay, next. Did I miss one? Am I on? Oh, the helmet of salvation. Got it. Which, pun intended, is a no-brainer because it protects your brain. The helmet of salvation is such an awesome gift of God. He has literally saved us from the enemy. So I picture our helmet as being gold, okay? It's not a crown. It's like a gold helmet. And that is where the enemy tries to look for our weaknesses the most. Because not only is it the central control system to our bodies, telling our hearts to beat and telling our hands to move and, you know, how to put on our shoes and our belt of truth and everything else, it also is where our thoughts are, which is, I don't know if it's just because I'm a woman, but when I think too much, it's not pretty. Sometimes if I'm alone for a while, Jim will come home and he'll say, you were thinking too much today. So, okay, it's not that funny. No, I'm just joking. So we need to hang on to our salvation and ask the Lord to renew our minds so that we're not thinking about things that make us worry. Because I know for me, if I'm going to worry, it's the worst thing first. And I don't want to think that way. I want to have trust in God and think best case scenario all the time and be optimistic and full of joy. That's my goal. So, he literally saved us. And we need to keep our minds focused on God because the devil really tries to lie to you and tell you that you're defeated and that you can't do it. And we need to say, yes, I can, because through God, all things are possible. And I'm not going to give up on my salvation. I'm not going to wave my white flag of surrender because I am saved through Christ and I can do it. So that's important. Keep your gold helmet on all the time. Don't get a concussion. And one thing that I wanted to say about the shield of faith, I totally forgot, and it's one of my favorite parts. That big honker of a shield, it protects even your armor. So your faith can protect your relationship with Holy Spirit. It can protect your peace and being grounded in the Lord. It can protect him trying to get into your mind and mess you up. So your faith is really important. So I encourage you, you know, faith on your own is great, but grab onto somebody who can help you build your faith and you can help each other, because we just want to have the biggest shields ever. That's basically it. And so lastly, the sword of the Spirit. This is great. Okay. So God gives us one weapon. He gave us lots of things to protect ourselves and one tool belt. And he gives us one weapon. We don't need to open the trunk of a car and look at all the, you know, all the guns and machetes and be like, okay, like, I'm going to choose this and this. He says, this is all you need. It's light, it's balanced, it conforms to fit your hand. This is specifically for you, and that's all you need. It says in the word, you know, it's sharper than a double-edged sword, and it divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is so precise. Dividing joints and marrow now in surgery, I'm pretty sure they need a laser so that they're not disturbing the rest of what's there. And this word, look at my Bible. Anyway, this word is the greatest weapon we will ever hold, ever. And what I love about God putting it in our hand, it is literally and physically tangible. And he says, don't be fooled and just read it, do it. Use your weapon. You can defend yourself against the enemy, but I'm telling you, use it against him because I gave it to you. So just do it. And another thing that I love about the word, it's so solid. You know, I can read things on the internet from somebody who seems to have good credentials, but if they say something that kind of, you know, like, do I believe that, Lord? Show me discernment. Tell me if that's from you or if that was just them talking. You don't have to second guess this. It is what it is. Accept it. Use it. Move on to the next thing, you know? So I love that it's so solid. You just read it and drink it in and great, downloaded. Let's go. So that's all the armor to put on. And I really feel that if we have the Holy Spirit and that fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit on us and we ask him to be there every day and we're solid and we're continually asking for increase of faith, increase of peace, increase of the truth, that we will not have a choice but overflowing that onto everybody that we know and everyone that we see, whether we know them or not. And a good visual and going, you don't have to put it up, but just going back to the picture of a before and after of a soldier now, we're going to have the zeal and the zest and the passion of a new recruit, but we're going to have all the knowledge and wisdom and patience of a veteran. That makes such a good soldier. And that's what we have. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if you're feeling defeated, ask the Lord for a fresh anointing of his joy, you know? And it's another thing, you know, like our faces are going to be shining and we're going to be laughing and have peace. And people are going to think like, what is up with you? You know? And we're going to be laughing at the devil while we're defeating him and putting our shoes of peace nicely on his neck, just saying like, haha, you tried, but whatever. Smoke and mirrors don't work on us anymore. So I want to leave you with two scriptures that I had kind of like a painting visual in my mind that I find are very encouraging. Psalm 18:32-38. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I like that, destroyed. I crushed them so that they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. And an illustration of that, how it says, you made my feet like a deer. I could stand on the heights. I could be up on a mountain. You broaden the path beneath me. I picture God being a sniper on the battlefield. I don't know if they call it like a pigeon something, or they're up somewhere as high where they can see a really wide terrain in front of them and where their people are going to be. And they have a specific sniper rifle that is very precise. And their shot is precise. That's what they're trained for. That's all they do. They time the humidity. They time the wind. They know how to take the shot within their breath and their heartbeat. It's precise. You don't have to double guess if that bullet's going to shoot to kill, because it does. And God is saying, I've made a way for you to walk in the battlefield, and you can even be up high, and you might not know what's going on around you, but I'm a sniper, and I've got your back, so don't be afraid to go out there. Amen. And finally, Psalm 91, which is always a fan favorite. In verse 4, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. So it could be because my grandfather was in the Air Force. Pilots always have feathers, the wings, to show that they're a pilot. And in that, it's like not only is he our sniper on the battlefield, he's the airstrike, the impending airstrike, so that if we're running down there and maybe we don't see what's to our side and, you know, we're asking for the Lord to show us whatever, he's saying, I can defeat your enemy because I'm up here in the sky watching over you. So I, you know, be encouraged. I'm really excited about this. I hope I didn't talk too fast or stumble over my words. But I encourage you, as I'm going to try to do, put on your armor every day so that whenever you're listening to the Holy Spirit and whenever you're listening to God, you won't have to second guess anymore. Was that me? Or was that God? You'll know. And one thing that I kind of skipped over with putting on the helmet of salvation is in Romans 2:12-2, do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and is good and acceptable and perfect. So as we put our armor on, like, the more we get used to it, the more we're going to know the will of God. Yes, please. Why not? So let's do it. The end. Amen. Okay.
That was a mouthful. That was good. Very good. That was great. There's so many things that we could share from that. The enemy, one of the things that I caught when she was talking about how the enemy has nothing more but smoke and mirrors to work with us. If we're in a place of fear, he's just using smoke and mirrors, trying to get you into a place of fear, trying to use something to get you into a place where you're out of peace, as Corinne talked about. He wants to get us out of peace and into fear, so he uses smoke and mirrors. In other words, he speaks things into your mind that if you think about them over and over and over again, the fearful thoughts, guess what they produce? Fear. Your peace begins to be eroded. And so you want to get that back just like that. That was a great word, Corinne.